For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it.
Come on in.
Get down on it.
It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Sean Morash, Loogie Boyle here as well. 888-808-1019. Fast and fun first 2 hours. A lot of Yankees, sprinkled in some Mets as well. DJ LeMahieu, you've got to stop playing. We'll still continue to take your calls on all of that at 888-808-1019. But I did want to mix in some football as well as we say hello to SNY here this afternoon. Hello, SNY. Mix in some football as well. Okay, tale of two teams, Jets and Giants in this town. Today is actually, I guess, an important day, an interesting day. Today is the day all the waiver claims happen, and then you set up your practice squads, and the roster maneuverability ahead of week one will continue. The Jets did make one significant move. They have gotten Lewis Seen, the 32nd overall pick in the draft 2 years ago by the Minnesota Vikings, who kind of flubbed out as a safety. He's had a lot of issues in coverage, which was his problem at Georgia. But the Jets bring him in, and look, upside, right? I mean, look what they did with Quincy Williams. I know he wasn't a first-round pick. You find ways to get the best out of these guys. That's one thing the Jets have seemingly done well on the defensive side of the ball. So I got no issue with this. Look, he was still a first-round pick from a big program in Georgia for a reason. If he fails, he fails. But ultimately, stockpiling the potential for more really good players in the back end of your defense, if you can get the most out of them, whether it's Ulbrich, whether it's Sala, I think that's a tremendous move. Also, hear me out, because while I've been labeled by plenty of listeners as some kind of big Jet hater, can we give the Jets a little credit as we approach week one and we are, what are we now, 8 days away from the first Thursday night game? We're about 11 days away from the first Jet game of the year. I know that Hard Knocks had a lot to do with this, and I know it was the first year of Aaron Rodgers had a lot to do with this. You know what is the biggest positive to take away the New York Jets as we enter the 2024 season? They just claimed Seen off waivers, but they haven't been heard. They have claimed Seen, but they haven't been heard. They've shut up this whole offseason. Even the Jet fan has been a little less rambunctious. Now, maybe the Yankees and Mets actually being in it this year as opposed to last year, we haven't had a lot. You know, we started the Aaron Rodgers Jet stuff on The Fan June, July, August last year. The Jet fan has taken a step back, and I got to give them credit for that, especially the young Jet fan. They're excited for the season, but there's been a little less bravado, and that also comes from the team. Aaron Rodgers, for better or for worse, again, we're not seeing him every week at Hard Knocks, and this is part of this. He really has shut up this offseason. We haven't heard and pumped our chest out about Super Bowls and how great this team. It does seem like there's less hoopla and more focus at the task at hand. And I give the Jets credit for that. Look, the Jets still hold that longest drought in North American sports for the playoffs. They got to snap that and get in the postseason before we're talking big games. They are confident. They are focused. Whether that translates into a big year or not, well, that will remain to be Lewis Seen. But you got to give the Jets and their fans credit for this. They're more focused this year, I think. It's less, It's less assumption of greatness and more, hey, let's go. Let's get off to a good start. We're confident in a good year. But a little more, wouldn't you agree, Tommy, a little more quiet this year?
I would agree, but I think it's sort of in the belly of the beast and it's going to get woken up. If they get off to a hot start, I think you get the Rex Ryan Jets here. Now, obviously, Bobby Saleh doesn't have the bravado, the personality that Rex did. But I think this fan base, they're a little bit on pins and needles because they're not sure if the quarterback's going to be healthy. They're just not sure. They were convinced last year that Aaron Rodgers is the missing piece, and then it was snapped from them within, you know, a couple of plays.
Right.
If they get off to a hot start, you will start to see that quickly because it'll be from the last year. It's almost like a two-year buildup for the Aaron Rodgers Jets. We never got to see it. We never got to see it. And we start to see it successfully, the cockiness and bravado will come out.
I could see that. And I think that the cockiness and bravado not being there is almost maybe lulled me a little bit. I have more confidence in the Jets this year than I did 3 months ago. I really do. And I know that sounds crazy. Like, I was all over the Jets under on our BetQL shows I do with Pat Boyle. You can download that free in the Odyssey app for a five-star weekend. And maybe it's also the Bills and Dolphins I don't quite believe in as much, although they're still lurking. They're still good. You can undervalue them a little bit, but they're not as daunting, if you will. They all lost key pieces. But I will say this. The one thing that still will scare me above anything else, I don't know that you will find a more contrast comparison between nicer human being yet less trustworthy head coach than Robert Saleh. He is not a bad guy. He clearly knows more football than any of us, or has forgotten more football than any of us will ever know.
Except for Tiki.
But as far as a head coach goes, there are certain aspects that Robert Saleh still lacks. And by the way, I saw more of that this week. Hassan Reddick still is not reported. I predicted he is going to sit out past week one. I said that to Evan when we were at Jet Camp. I don't think we're getting a resolution before week one. I think that Hassan Reddick is crazy enough to do this. Here's my issue, though. Hassan Reddick and his situation, I know, was on Joe Douglas's feet, and Joe Douglas probably screwed this up. When I see quotes like I did yesterday where Robert Saleh's asked, hey, are you going to try to reach out to Hassan Reddick? And he says, no, that's, I'm paraphrasing, that's for Joe. Dude, you're the head coach of this football team. I know that you work in collaboration with Joe Douglas and to a lesser extent, or maybe more of an extent, Woody Johnson. It's all supposed to be a collaborative branch. But in situations like this, where there's a disgruntled player, even if the contract isn't something you work out, as a head coach, the CEO of that roster, you should reach out to Hassan Reddick. You absolutely should. Because if you view the guy as an important piece, or did when he was brought in, and you trusted when Joe Douglas traded for him, not that it would help, and maybe it is about every last dollar, but it couldn't hurt for Robert Saleh, the head coach, who's defensive-minded, by the way, to reach out to Hassan Reddick. Hassan, I know that this is a financial situation for you. And take or leave what I'm going to say for you. You are going to make more money on a big contract in this league. And I'm telling you, as a defensive mind, insert this guy, look what I just did for Bryce Huff. Robert Saleh could lay out the resume he has as a defensive-minded, I'll use the word genius, to Hassan Reddick, and explain to him the wonders he could do just by spending 1 year with him on the roster and get him here as fast as possible. But yet, Robert Saleh, the head coach of this team, is throwing his hands up going, oh, it's not for me to do. It is for you to do. It's for Joe Douglas to figure out the contract and get it done. But you're the head coach of the team. He's a guy your GM traded for. Go be the CEO and reach out to this guy. Don't throw your hands up and say, I'm not going to reach out to him. So what? The next time you talk to him is just you hope Douglas has figured it out and then you're going to give Reddick the sell? Go sell Hassan Reddick on being a Jet. Robert Saleh's not doing that. And I got a big time issue with that. Look, the Jets could go win 11 games, 12 games, 13 games, 14 games, 15 games, 16 games. They could do all of that based on talent. Without a doubt, there continues to be breadcrumbs of subtlety that make you doubt this Jet team, and they all circle around the trust of the head coach. Can he manage a clock when a game is big? I don't know. Can he get the proper hands mixed in on the offense? Does he have the ability to give Aaron Rodgers the business if he disagrees with something on the sideline? There's all of these things, but above anything else, your team trades for a player and you have an awkward holdout like this, step up, be a man, and call Hassan Reddick and sell him on what you could do to make him even more money at the end of the year, because you just made Bryce Huff a ton of money by getting the most out of him, along with Jeff Ulbrich. I believe in the Jets more than I thought I would have, I must admit. Even I must admit. As much as it pains me because I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan. But there's still something off with Robert Saleh as a head coach. And this moment with Hassan Reddick and refusing to reach out to him may not seem like a big deal to many of you. And we all know the Jet cult and the green Kool-Aid, right? You say anything negative about Saleh, Rodgers, and the Jets, what comes out? Oh, this fat idiot doesn't know what he's talking about. This fat idiot doesn't know what he's talking about. Ever occur to you, maybe some of us do know what we're talking about? Your head coach should be reaching out to an important piece you acquired this offseason who's not here still 11 days from opening day. Am I nuts, guys?
No, and you see it with Reddick, and you see it with, I think back to Aaron Rodgers only about a week or two ago with the whole playing in the last preseason game where Aaron Rodgers was obviously passive-aggressive, and I'm married, right. So I know passive-aggressive when I see it. And the head coach just ends up looking like not a leader of men, and we get it. He's a rah-rah guy. You see that on the sidelines when the defense is doing something. And I understand that Aaron Rodgers is, let's be honest, bigger than the Jets. But at the same time, if you are going to beat the Chiefs, if you are going to beat the Ravens, if you are going to win the division, you need a leader of men, and you need a guy that puts his foot down with guys like Reddick, who calls him up, who puts his foot down with guys like Aaron Rodgers. Forget the in-game stuff, which he's also not great at.
Yeah.
You need to be that guy to win a Super Bowl when you got to get through the road in Kansas City. I'm sorry, you do. And we just don't know what this Jet thing is. We haven't really seen the first disagreement on the field with Rodgers and Saleh.
No, because we didn't see anything.
You know it's coming.
Of course.
How does he respond? How does Saleh respond?
I think he walks away.
I'm sorry. Then you get completely neutered, for lack of a better word. And you're the friggin' head coach.
But I think we're there. I think we're there. And that, to me, that's going to be lacking from this team. That's the only thing that's hesitant about this team when everybody waves the pom-poms ahead of it. Now, could Hassan Reddick be ready for week one? Should he show up any moment? Robert Saleh was asked about this.
I'm assuming he's in phenomenal shape. You know, like I said, he's a veteran. He knows what he needs to get ready. You know, he's had success in multiple buildings and multiple schemes with multiple coaching staffs. And so he's going to know what he needs to do to be ready for week one. So he still has plenty of time.
Plenty of time, but the time's ticking. There's no doubt the time's ticking. Now, Michael Strahan in 2007 held out all through camp and came out. By the way, Strahan wasn't great those first couple weeks. Remember, the Giants defense got torched to start the year. I know that a guy could work out on his own. I get it. But there's something different about taking those training camp reps and even some preseason, although the Jets starters didn't play in the preseason, so I guess that's out. These joint practices going up against him. You see this happen, it smells like a pulled hamstring waiting to happen when you're not ready. Now, the Jets are going to run him out there. Hassan Reddick, if he does come back, clearly he's going to want to play and be ready to go week one. That's the whole point. I don't think that he's going to report before week one, so I think this is null and void. And the longer this goes, I think it only hurts Reddick. I think it only hurts the Jets. And the other elephant in the room with the Jets is, as talented as they are at every position, I like Jermaine Johnson. Is Jermaine Johnson T.J. Watt? Is he Brian Burns? Is he any of these guys? He better be, because you got all those sack numbers from Bryce Huff. And secondly, Will McDonald. Will McDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. But Will McDonald have multiple sacks? Who knows, who knows, who knows?
Also, how much of a skid mark is this on Joe Douglas?
Skid mark, Pat. Huh?
Yeah, on Joe Douglas's tenure. He's drafted incredibly well.
No, he hasn't.
What?
No, he hasn't.
Yes, he has.
Pat.
Dude.
Pat, he had a great singular first round with Garrett Wilson.
The fact that he got Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, and Sauce Gardner in the span of 2 years.
He drafted incredibly well over that draft. Pat, he took Zach Wilson second overall. He spent the first round pick on Mekhi Becton, and as it stands right now, I'm not giving up on him. Will McDonald might be an incredible reach. There's a chance. You can't say he's drafted incredibly well if he possibly has botched three first-round picks.
Well, you didn't let me get to my point. You jumped the gun on me there, Sean, so thank you.
Okay, skid mark.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, he totally whiffed on the most important position, and then for 3 years basically tried to peddle Zach Wilson down our throats and try to save him and save his career because he knew that, hey, if I whiff on the quarterback, that's probably one step closer to me getting fired than the opposite. But again, I don't care whose fault it's at. We've had this discussion all summer, all for the last 3 months here. Is the blame on Hassan Reddick? Is it on Joe Douglas? They need to get a deal done. At the end of the day, Joe Douglas took the risk. Whatever Hassan Reddick and his agent and his camp told the Jets, hey, you know what? We're going to sign a contract, whatever. We'll do this, we'll do that. You still took the risk. I don't care if it's a third-round pick. I don't care if it was a sixth or a seventh-round pick. You took the risk that something like this could happen, and now it is distracting. It is a distraction before the start of the season where for once... And the first time in forever, it felt like the Jets had no distractions going into the season. We got all of the Hard Knocks BS and all the Rodgers hype and the glazing out of the way last year. This was supposed to be about business, and still now, for a defense that is championship caliber, you do need to be able to get to the quarterback. They could still improve in that area, and the guy that you counted on to do that is still not there. And like you said, you don't think he's going to be there until after that Niners game.
I definitely don't. And you could be taking advantage of a Niner team right now that still can't figure out the Trent Williams situation, the Ayuk situation. Like, the Niner game doesn't have to be an automatic loss. You know that, right?
It's there for the taking.
I mean, it is there for the taking.
I think it just goes ultimately back to Saleh. To quote a line in The Sopranos, we need a supreme leader at the top, not the Dave Clark Five. I mean, this guy has got to be the leader of this team. And he always passes it. That's a Joe Douglas thing. That's a this. No. You are the head coach of the Jets. Aaron Rodgers is not the head coach. Nate Hackett's not the head coach. This is not Joe Douglas' situation. He picks the players. Now you are the coach. You have to lead this team and this franchise. You can't say Jet fan without long and suffering in front of it to the promised land, period.
We'll take your calls here. And Giant fans, and Joe Shane is not absolved from this either. I have some thoughts on that for the first time. I got a little negativity towards the Giants general manager as well. Anthony Keyport. Anthony, what's up? You're on The Fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Anthony?
Hey, so long-time Jets fan, season ticket holder. One thing I'm not sure about, and I agree with you guys that the whole thing's a mess, but because of the contract negotiation, is Saleh even allowed to really talk to him about anything? Or is he
told not to because it comes down
to money?
Remember this, Anthony. Reddick is under contract for 1 year. He is a New York Jet. This isn't some kind of tampering thing. They traded for him. He is his player. He's not showing up because he wants an extension.
Yeah, but you think Douglas or Woody are telling him to keep, stay away?
Okay, and by the way, they may, but that further, to me, pantses your head coach. He's the head coach. He's the defensive mind. He's the guy that could inevitably work with Hassan Reddick and make him a boatload of money. He should be involved in talking to him. He shouldn't be throwing his hands up going, I'm not going to talk to Hassan Reddick. If this was the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, do you think Mike Tomlin is picking up the phone and calling Hassan Reddick? Of course he is. I'll go a step further. Brian Daboll would be doing it with the Giants. Doesn't mean it's the end-all, be-all, but any little bit helps. Chris in Monmouth County. Chris, what's up?
Sean, Tommy, Pat Boyle, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
Listen, man, respectfully, I have a grievance to air about a call I made to the Geo and Boomer show this morning. But before that, you guys are right on with the Jets. Saleh is not a leader. Tommy, you know I love you, man. I'll disagree with you this. I don't even see him doing rah-rah on the sideline. You guys are dead on with everything. He is not a leader. He's almost like the bouncer at a club who doesn't look in your eye when you're trying to get in, and he's not even that scary. Like, it's crazy.
What's crazy, I let you make that grievance, what's crazy is that's exactly what he was as a defensive coordinator, though. Remember him sweating, going nuts on the sideline, going crazy? He was that leader defensively for San Francisco. It's part of the reason he got
hired. You're right. He's not that guy. He's not that guy anymore. Listen to me. They hired Saleh on his intimidating, bulkier, beefier image alone. And Fox would always say, he's the next head coach. He's going to be head coach. He's going to be head coach. Like you hear for every friggin' assistant coach everywhere. It's a travesty. He's a terrible coach. And you're right. Wait till they got that new dust up when they on the sideline, like Parcells would do with Sims. I'm telling you. He's going to look egg on his face. He will not look like a leader, and it doesn't even matter. But, guys, listen.
Yeah.
I'm a regular caller, and I don't call with any entitlement. I say this respectfully because you guys got a hard job, but I love the fan. I've been a fan forever. I love the fan. I called this morning, okay? Jerry and Willie Colon were on a topic about McDonald's and sandwiches and baked potatoes at Wendy's when they were growing up, okay?
Ooh,
and again, the same conversations, that Craig had, that Evan had a couple months ago at Fuddruckers. There's only two Fuddruckers left open, and he's going to go to one. And I told him that the one was in Pennsylvania near Hershey Park. So anyway, they were talking about they're coming out with a mix.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Archburger, okay?
All right.
So I call up, and I don't know who answered the phone. It wasn't Big Zoo. Big Zoo, all respect. And whoever answered it, whatever, all respect, but had a little bit of like an edge and said, I don't understand what you're talking about. I said, listen, these guys talk about this all the time. I thought maybe it was the intern that they were joking about a couple months back. They didn't reference him by name. So anyway, I tell about the Archburger. I said, the Archburger was 25 years ago in like 1995.
Right.
And that's a real thing. I said, I want to get on and tell these guys, like, remind, because I said, Jerry will come back at me because Jerry always denies. It's always... I don't remember that, or I don't think that's true.
Okay.
No, Jerry, it's true, okay? The guy shut me down, hung up on me.
Chris, I'm apologizing that you had that experience. I'll let Pat...
And by the way, I want you to get... I don't want the guy to get in trouble, okay?
Well, you don't want the guy to get in trouble, but you wanted to call at 4 o'clock when everybody's listening.
No, because here's what I want to say is, I want to let you guys know, I'm enthusiastic about telling about the Archburger, so Chris, and this guy, so he shut me down.
Chris, just so I have all the ducks in a row, because you kind of sped everything fast there.
I don't want you guys to hang up on me because I know you got other callers. No, I respect
Chris,
the other callers.
I just want to make sure I have the ducks in a row before we file the grievance here, okay?
They were talking
this morning about hamburgers and the Archburger.
They were talking about fast food.
Okay.
White Castle.
All right.
They were talking about Wendy's, and Jerry used to order a baked potato.
Okay. So they were talking about all that. And you wanted to bring up that the Archburger existed years ago, which I remember it did. And,
absolutely. And you, 1995.
And you did not like the tone of the producer screen in the call because basically he was lost on what you were trying to call about.
Correct. Exactly right. Not Big Zoo. All shout out to Big Zoo.
Boy,
Big Zoo. But here's what I want. Phone.
Okay, what do you want?
I want redemption. I want redemption. I never call the morning show. I'm working all the time. I happen to be off the rest of the week.
Well,
I went to the gym this morning. I'm like,
Chris, here's what I can tell you. We are a great United station. I want you to run this call next week by Al Dukes.
Oh, boy, Al's going to hang up on me.
Well, then that's what I have to do now. Thanks for the call, Chris. Now, who was it? Was it you, Pat? Were you in this morning? Are you hanging up on Chris?
No, I was not doing a double shift this morning. My guess is on the schedule, it's Fleegs and Zoo.
Yeah, here's all I will tell you.
It was probably Fleegs.
Fleegelman's a good producer. Chris, with all due respect, I think you're an entertaining caller. I think you have all the energy. We love all of our WFA callers here. But much like if you go back on the Odyssey Rewind app to about an hour and a half ago on Evan Attiki, when we started talking about fried calamari and Lou Gehrig called it overrated, what happened? What happened was we started to get a couple callers going, I got the best calamari. It's in New Hyde Park. I got the best calamari. It's in Cliffside Park or whatever the heck, right?
Right.
What I'm assuming happened this morning is, like, we're still sports talk radio and sports entertainment at our core. Depending on when you tune in, you might get more nonsense than you do sports. It's the producer's job to redirect. Maybe there was already a couple calls up there on the Archburger or whatever else, Chris. And unfortunately, we can't do 10 calls on that. Otherwise, it gets out of hand.
Yeah, it derails the show.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, I think Chris even brought this up with Robert Sala. In a lot of ways, as the producer here, now we all have different temperaments. I won't mention names, but some people are a little meaner and yell at the callers. And it's not just the guy you're thinking of. There's others that yell at the callers. I try to be nicer because I want to be the future of the station. So I kiss your ass. No, I'm just teasing. Jeez. You're the bouncer here. Remember it knocked up?
Yeah.
You old, not for this club. Like I would, you know, tap that, whatever. But at some point you have to be, you're the gatekeeper. And it's not a birthright. And I love Chris. Great Nick fan. He calls Evan names. Love the guy. And I love Fleegs, and I'm not there, so I have no idea what the situation was. But you don't understand the situation here.
Yeah, exactly.
We're trying to direct the show.
It's not
I'm sure he had his reasons, and I'm sure they were absolutely 1,000% justified. Now, speaking of the Orange Burger, they double the meat on this bad boy? I don't remember this.
I do remember it. Perhaps the thing I loved the most as a kid that maybe I look back, the one thing my parents floored me on, I think I was allowed at like 9, 10 years old to constantly get supersized meals on Friday nights, and I was big on the Orange Burger at one point.
Sounds about right.
Pat, yeah. I'm Sean's age. You're a little bit younger. I don't have any recollection of this.
You know what was? You know what the Arch Burger was great for? I'm not a fan of the sauce on the Big Mac. Never happened.
So I like, what's it, like a little mayo, a little bit of...
I forgot what they put in the Arch Burger, but it was almost like getting a Big Mac, but taking away the sauce.
Bro, it looks like it's like maybe a mustard on there. I'm looking at a picture of it now.
It looks like a Chipotle aioli.
Maybe that's current. Chipotle aioli was not popular in 1998.
Yeah, that's very Gen Z Chipotle aioli. Yeah. Relax with it. I'm not
Sriracha
saying you patch.
Sauce nobody had even heard of in 1998. You know
I'm with
mean?
You on that, yeah. I always like the double meat, though. I'm a big double the meat guy.
Do you?
With a little cheese. They actually went triple cheese on it, too. You can't have enough cheese.
No, I'm starving.
It does look tremendous.
And it looks like an everything bagel.
It wasn't on an everything bagel back then. It was a bun. Calm down. Everybody calm down.
I'm starving. I haven't anything to eat all day.
Well, whose fault is that?
Well, my wife, you want the story or no? I'll do it quickly. So my wife leaves snacks out for me. I love my wife. She's a little bit of a dingbat.
What are you, a dog?
She's like the real life Cosmo Kramer.
Does she put them in a trail to the bedroom?
I relax here. I work very hard. She could leave a snack out for me. She does it, by the way. I don't ask for it. She leaves the snacks
all
out
right,
for
very
me.
Very nice.
All right. So today, I just grabbed my own, didn't see anything out. As I'm leaving, I get the text from her, hey, the snacks are in the fridge. I said, well, you know, that doesn't do me any good. I already left. Now I got to catch the train. I can't get the snacks. So I'm snackless. I know what you're saying. Why didn't I run somewhere to pay for...
Yeah, we don't work in Siberia, dude.
No, well, you know, it's principle, number one. Number two, it's like, you know, I just got back from a trip. You're trying to keep the expenses down. And you know what? Whatever. I look at it as like, you know, you stay thin this way. But I didn't have my snacks.
There's a deli right across the street.
Well, not I want only a that. Deli food. I want a snack. I just
not
want only a that.
Not deli food. They got great things, bro. They got chip selection. They got like the dried fruit. They got good snacks. They got a grill. They got deli.
Patty, I gotta shut you down. When you can't say great things and two sentences later go dried fruit.
I'm, you know what? I was going through.
Nobody's ever said I'm starving. Get me that apricot.
I'm doing the tour in my head. I know you got the chips. They got the chibani. They got yogurt. They got. I don't know, like all the different nuts and dried fruits
stuff,
and
right?
stuff.
Yeah.
And on top of the grill, you can get breakfast sandwich. You can get, they got the whole deli. They got the pre-made.
What are you doing? You're like the caller from Cliffside Park now. We know. We get it. The deli's got snacks.
Well, you shot me down because in my head, I painted the picture and I said dried fruit. And that was the killer for you, huh? But wait, you said your wife put the snacks in the fridge. You didn't think to look in the fridge?
No. I had to get in a little earlier today, so I wasn't thinking fully. I'm still tired from the trip, so I didn't think that. And she hasn't put the snacks in the fridge in a while, so it was a location that I didn't expect to check. She leaves a little note for me on a post-it note, have a nice day, the whole thing, but I didn't think to check that.
You had to get in earlier today. Evan's out, Tiki's out. I'm in the main
chair. Don't
worry
about what I'm doing here.
And look at all the white space we have on the show sheet put together today.
Oh, now you're bringing that
What did you
light.
Get here early for?
None.
You basically did nothing.
None your business. That's why I got here earlier today. I don't worry about your business. Don't worry about mine.
It's also Wednesday. You went to Nashville. You got back on Sunday. How are you still tired?
Oh, you paint the town red. It's a little older now. It takes time to recover.
72-hour hangover?
By the way, don't you hate when people go away and you feel like you were away with them? We get it. You were away. It's Wednesday. Move on. Evan and Tiki on the fan. It's Sean Morash. Loogie Boyle here as well. Yankee baseball in about an hour and a half. Pregame here on The Fan. Yankees and Nationals. Carlos Rodon, Mackenzie Gore. By the way, looking at some of the splits, Mackenzie Gore this year is a left-hander. Far worse versus left-handed bats than he is versus right-handed bats in an ironic twist. But please, by all means, bat DJ LeMahieu eighth again because Aaron Boone basically, I guess, thinks he owes him the world. The Yankees, as much as they have the most wins in the American League, letting the Orioles hang around because they value making sure they don't hurt anybody's feelings like DJ LeMahieu, despite the fact that the Astros cut Jose Abreu, no problem at all. All right, I talked about the Jets and my optimism on the Jets. But the only negative being Salah's got to pick up the phone here and call Reddick, and those are the little breadcrumbs that leave you to not fully believe. Before we get back to your calls, the Giants are not absolved from this either. And I think as we approach the regular season, some 10 days away from the Giants starting, maybe it's 11 days, I'm bad at math, whatever. They start next Sunday. Today, the waiver claims have come and gone. Some of the guys not claimed, the Giants can still make a decision on. The Giants did make one waiver claim. They got Anthony Johnson, last year's seventh-round pick, safety from the Packers, slipped to fifth on the depth chart. People in Green Bay seem to like him a lot. But ironically, the Packers signed Xavier McKinney to big money. They have some other safeties there. Anthony Johnson couldn't make it. They thought they could slip him on the practice squad. Giants jumped in and claimed him. The Giants, in turn, have now cut their seventh-round pick from a year ago, Jarvarius Owens. So he's gone, and obviously Anthony Johnson's here. A couple other little cleanup things I want to get to the Giants, but I think this needs to be said because I don't think it's been said enough. I understand that the quote-unquote sexier sports debate and topic is people fighting endlessly about Daniel Jones. Like, that's all we seem to do when we talk about the Giants is argue about Daniel Jones. Ah, Daniel Jones this, Daniel Jones that. Let's make one thing very clear. We've gone too far in Daniel Jones hate. Where I don't know why, again, is another issue in America where we can't just have middle ground. Daniel Jones is not an elite quarterback. Daniel Jones also isn't some kind of heaping dog turd that's unplayable at the position. He is, even if you want to call him below middle of the road, he is certainly viable and playable. They did make the playoffs and win a playoff game 2 years ago with him. But because of that and because of the angst, I think we've lazily, from fans to maybe even us in the sports talk world, not focused on the bigger issue with the Giants. The Giants' 53-man roster is temporarily set. The reason people are down on the Giants, they keep telling you, is because Daniel Jones is the quarterback and they don't believe. That is not the reason the Giants potentially are going to fail this year as an organization. The reason they are going to fail as an organization is that for the first time, and we all reach a point in time with this, you can honestly look at the roster construction and question just how good and how right the general manager is. I love the way that Joe Shane came across in the offseason Hard Knocks. I believe in the vision that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have for this football team. But we are entering a season where the Giants 1 through 53 is actually a better 1 through 53 than they had 2 years ago when they won 9 games. But the Giants' cornerback room right now, and if you want to extend that to the full defensive back situation, might be, and this could be hyperbole, the worst positional group in the entire NFL. And you saw it in Hard Knocks when they couldn't trade up for Kool-Aid McKinstry or whatever they were going to try to do at cornerback in round number 2. The idea that the Giants are entering a season with their number one corner is a first-round pick from a year ago, Deontay Banks. He might only end up being a really good number two corner. So you hope he's a number one. Maybe he's only a number two. But behind that, to have this come down to Nick McCloud, a waiver claim from 2 years ago, who, you know, I think I like. He could do some duct tape work, play a little safety, play a little corner. He might be your starting corner. Or Cordell Flott, who potentially is a failed third-round pick. At some point, doesn't the general manager deserve a little criticism for not hitting on these draft picks? I like Kayvon Thibodeau. I like Malik Nabers. I think Deontay Banks can play in the league. I know he failed miserably at Evan Neal, but 3 out of 4 in first-round picks being at least viable starters in a league, if not a tremendous star like Nabers could be, and I like Thibodeau more than others. The mid-round picks, they've gotten nothing from. A little from Bellinger, a little from McFadden, but nothing else. and to leave the cupboard that bare, despite the fact that the Giants just reworked Andrew Thomas's deal and they have $13 million to work with. Adoree Jackson is still sitting out there. They let Stephon Gilmore go to the Vikings. Xavier Howard's still sitting out there. I find this to be a mindless, senseless joke. How could you be that bad at the number two cornerback spot? And the Giants were sitting at number six in the waiver claim priority because that's where they drafted, right? So how the waivers work today in the NFL, and all the waiver claims are going to be announced at noon, is you could claim as many players as you want, but they had to go to your roster if you claimed them. The Panthers at the first spot claim not one, not two, but three cornerbacks today. So for Joe Shane, now who knows if the Giants also put in claims for these guys, but if they did, for Joe Shane not to have the wherewithal that a team ahead of you, and there was only five, was that desperate a corner that they could claim three guys while the Giants, that's their biggest hole, feels like a maddening disgrace. And if the Giants don't get to the ultimate goal and win more games than they did last year, six, they should, when you have Malik Nabers, a better offensive line. It's a better offense, for sure, than they've had. Ultimately, it'll be the secondary and getting beat with big plays that is the downfall of this team. Not that Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback. So we need to stop having a lazy argument about Daniel Jones. We know the team wants to move on at the end of the year, but he also can play and has never had a number one wide receiver like Malik Nabers, has never had two steady tackles like he should have with Jermaine Illuminor and Andrew Thomas, not to mention John Runyon thrown in there in the middle and Greg Van Roten. This whole line should at least be capable. If Jones flops and fails, he flops and fails. But I don't believe that that's what's going to be the downfall of this Giant team. Joe Shane deserves heat right now. Because until proven otherwise, there is too many unknowns on what he's put together on this roster. And I was very underwhelmed and very disappointed. I thought by noon today, the Giants would have at least had somebody on their roster. I said, all right, I see the upside. And they added Anthony Johnson to safety, fine. This is what they're doing at cornerback? After Deontay Banks, this is what they're doing? Okay, maybe Drew Phillips as a third-round pick. Turns out to be a really good nickel. Maybe, still rookie. Nick McCloud and Cordell Flott is your answer at number two corner? You couldn't do anything else? Okay. If Justin Jefferson's running free and making Sam Darnold look like Joe Montana in week one, and you lose a game to the Minnesota Vikings, who won't have TJ Hockenson and won't have Jordan Addison, look back at today as another day where you did nothing about it. Nothing.
I think Shane is banking on the guys up front, and I know it's cliche, but they have to get a pass rush out of Burns. We know Kayvon's got to get there. I agree with you. The secondary is bad. Tay Banks has been anointed only because he's the best guy in the room. Doesn't even mean he's a great corner. He's just the best of what they have.
And I think we've seen enough from Tay Banks that I think he's good. Haven't seen enough to know that he's a really good number one corner.
Right. It's not like, all right, he's, you know, Sauce Gardner, so you could live with other guys in the secondary not being good because you go, all right, Tay, lock up, double J on Minnesota, and we don't have to worry about anybody else. But like you said, now, the Vikings are favored in that game. I don't want
to
go down that
on the sports book you go.
Okay, fine. But that just tells you where a lot of teams are thinking that. I just say this. The Giants are weak at starting quarterback and at secondary. Tough to win in the modern NFL if you're weak at both positions. Yeah. I know you want to defend DJ in this spot.
I don't think they're weak at quarterback. I just don't think they're great at quarterback. I think they're just middle of the road at quarterback. Look, here's the very unpopular truth that nobody wants to hear. Daniel Jones cannot throw that pick six versus the Houston Texans and that other underthrown pick. There's no doubt about it. But if you watch the only preseason you saw Daniel Jones uncorking that ball down the sideline to Darius Slayton, making plays, like there has been, and we were at the joint practice with the Lions and Daniel was popping, and he went down the field versus the Jets, and then the one time he finally got to uncork a bomb, Malik Nabers dropped it in the joint practices. I'm not that worried about Daniel Jones. I don't think he's going to be great, but he's not an unplayable disaster, and that's all we've talked about. The Giants' holes are not a Daniel Jones hole. It's the secondary that's going to kill this team.
I mean, the Slayton pass was a dime, but he did throw the pick six, which was...
No, I get it. First game back, all of that.
Fine.
But we've seen enough of the joint practices that I actually am confident that they're going to function as an offense this year. I really am.
You know me. I still think DeVito should be the starter, but I'm with you on the secondary. I don't think it's good at all. I think Shane should have recognized that. He should have been more aggressive here. You bring in guys from off wherever. Maybe one of them fits. Maybe one of them hits.
Three corners go to Carolina with the first waiver claim today. How does Joe Shane not have that foresight?
And I'm sure those players rather go to the Giants than the Panthers.
Oh, my
goodness.
My God.
I mean, they'd rather go anywhere but Carolina unless Bryce Young somehow turns it around.
Tiki has stated this, and I'll state it too. I don't think that Joe Shane or Brian Daboll should be on the hot seat this year, no matter how many games they win, because I think they should be allowed to draft a quarterback, which I think they will at the end of this year. We already saw the breadcrumbs and Hard Knocks that they should. But the roster still has, I think, an enormous flaw, at least one, if not more. And at some point, it's year three, the general manager, I know the hole that Gettleman put this team in. You know, it's starting to be put up or shut up time. You've got to start hitting on some of these mid-round draft picks. The Lions, by the way, you know why the Lions are good? It's not that they've been tearing up first-round picks. And I like Jahmyr Gibbs. Remember, they spent the first-round pick. They hit on Amon-Ra St. Brown in the mid-rounds, right? They've hit on some of these guys. Jared Goff ended up being a fine quarterback. The way you flesh out your roster isn't just about hitting first-round picks. It's about figuring out the middle of the draft and your free agency. You know, Karake's been a good free agent. 3 years in, the Giants should be a little better depth-wise than they are.
Yeah, the Lions also really good because they got monsters on both lines. I mean, they have an insane offensive line, maybe the best in football, and obviously their defensive line is outstanding. And I do think the Giants have an awesome defensive line, and the offensive line has been great. We can now live in a world where we don't have to take 400 calls on this station about the Giants' offensive
line.
They're
going to function. The Giants are going to move the ball now. Will Daniel Jones turn the ball? Maybe.
He's going to have the bad ones, dude. Here's the thing I want to warn everybody.
If you want to take shots down the field, and Daniel Jones better take shots down the field, that seemed to be the identity in training camp. Daniel Jones' interception numbers are going to go up. I think people forget this. Daniel Jones playing quarterback 2 years ago, when he led him to the playoffs, the least turned over quarterback in football. He was.
No, but there was reasons for that too, though.
You want to say because they didn't throw the ball down the field? That's part of it.
There was a conservative approach. He stopped the fumbling.
Big deal. My point is, when you're going to take shots and be a little more of a gunslinger, the interception is going to go up, but I still want to see those shots.
That's fine. If they hit home runs, and they should, by the way, when you have Malik, when you have Hyatt, and you have Slayton, and you have a fast running back, you should run your offense that way.
I'm down on the overall outcome of this team, and it's not because of Daniel Jones. It's because I don't trust some of this other stuff with the roster, and I think the cornerback room's a disaster. And I was very, very discouraged with the job Joe Shane did today on the waiver claims. And let's see. I mean, there are other corners out there that are just flat-out free agents. Caleb Fairley out there. Again, I don't think Adoree Jackson's coming back. We mentioned some of these guys. Man, how different this would have looked for $7 million if they had signed Stephon Gilmore 2 weeks ago.
And remember when we brought that up, and I don't know if it was you or Tiki or someone said, oh, he's going to hold out and go to a big... He went to the Vikings.
Exactly.
So it's not like he went to the Chiefs or he went to the Bills or anything like that. He went to the Vikings, so that's a misstep then. If he was sitting out there and he ended up signing with the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm always going to be excited for Giants season, okay? I picked them. I'm on the record. I don't know if Evan's going to update this next week, but I picked them for the least amount of wins of anybody on the show. I picked them for 7 wins.
Yes, you did.
Okay? I also think they're going to be an interesting 7-win team. I don't think it's going to be this. I think they're going to be in it. I think they're going to beat the Vikings week one. But the team has the potential in a wide-open NFC if the cornerback room is a little short up to win 9 or 10 games. They could. The front seven is good. The O-line is good. But they've left such a gaping hole that just absolutely tears me up.
Yep. On the positive side of it, I would say that there is trouble in Philly. We all know that. It's no secret. Hurts and A.J. Brown basically can't stand each other. They've lost major leaders in that locker room with Kelsey, with Cox. And the Cowboys are always a roller coaster. We know that. The team that I think is sneaky to go on a point that you have said off the air that you bet them to win the division, and obviously Evan stole that from you. Just ask Brian Daboll about Jane Daniels.
Yeah.
The guy was going to drive down to Death Valley to make him be the quarterback here. We don't know what the Commanders are going to be here. They could be that sneaky team.
But I do think it's wide open.
It's wide open.
And the Cowboys also, by the way, added Dalvin Cook. And for all you Cowboy fans, I'm glad you agreed to deal with CeeDee Lamb. When you leave a position group, by the way, that might be the only position group worse than the Giant cornerback room, is the Cowboys running back room. The moment a guy releases a social media video of them throwing a medicine ball, which is what Dalvin Cook did to finally get that call to the Cowboys. The moment the medicine ball video comes out, you know a guy's career is cooked, for lack of a better term. And the Cowboys brought Dalvin Cook in for that. Oh, what a joke. Joe in New Jersey. Joe, what's up?
Hello?
Joe, what's up?
Hey, how are you? Is this Sean?
This is Sean. Is this Joe?
Yeah. Hey, you hear me all right?
We hear you. What's going on, man?
I'm on the car. I wanted to talk to you because you've been talking about Lake George.
Not today, really, but okay, go on.
No, I have to tell you because I've been going there like 60 years. I mean, I could do tours of that lake. My daughter just got married there this last June 28th.
It's a beautiful place. I've been there two straight years.
Have you? Oh, my God. You got to go up when I'm there, man. I'll take you out. I could do tours of that lake. You know, whether we're talking about fishing spots, restaurants.
Yeah.
There's a place called Calves Pen.
It's beautiful.
Cliff jumping.
Got the owner of the Red Sox house up there. Thanks for the call, Joe. Here's the thing. I love Lake George. Great spot. And he's gone there six straight. I love going with the kids. Tours of the lake. Here's the tour. There's a guy who was almost famous that lives here. There's a guy who lost a governor race that lives here. Lake George, what you inevitably realize when you go on any of these little steamboat tours, a lot of people that were almost something.
It's like being right outside of Los Angeles. Right.
And frankly, I got to be honest with you. I don't care what type of fish you can catch depending on the area of the lake. You know what I care about? How many beers can I drink with my feet in the sand? And how much kayaking can I do out there? And then where is basically the OTB ticket bar?
Right. The key when you're at Lake George, because you go out on the floaty out on the lake, is how many beers can I get out there without having either your daughter fetch one for you or your wife or something? You got to be smart about
it. The village is great. The ice cream shops, the arcades.
Absolutely.
I'm there for a week to drink and play in the sand.
And get the least amount of mosquito bites as you possibly can.
Exactly. And by the way, I'm a Long Island guy. I live 8 minutes from Robert Moses Beach, okay? I get that filth. The lake is just a different peaceful environment. It's beautiful up there. I can live it or take it. I don't really care.
Yeah, I only like doing there was like a boat. Oh God, what do they call those old school like steamboats or whatever?
Yeah, the Minnehaha.
You do that and you drive past that super rich hotel that only Tiki could stay at in Boomer.
The Sagamore, that's on the other
Maybe
side.
Maybe Geo now. I don't know. But yeah, the Sagamore one, yeah.
A little overrated place. You know what the problem with the Sagamore is?
It has its own golf course too, I think.
Yeah, beautiful. But if you go to Lake George, you want to stay in a place where you could walk into the town and experience the town. The Sagamore is on the other side of the lake.
Right, you can't even get there by foot.
Yeah, exactly. Big problem. All right, Ryan and Howell.
Ryan, what's up? Sean, how are you, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Listen, I got two points. One is just for fun, and one is a serious question, all right?
All right, Ryan, can you take us off speaker?
Ryan. My bad. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll all just wait by the radio here.
All right.
I got you. You there?
Yeah, we're here. What's up?
All right, so last Monday, this guy called in. He was a culinary arts teacher.
Yeah.
And man, you guys raked him through the coals.
Well, it's just.
And he was just a
nice guy. And he's got it. The point was, he's got a cushy job.
And all you were saying, he's a glorified home ec teacher.
Well.
And then meanwhile,
Ryan.
Today I tune in a couple times and we're doing is talking about calamari and Ortsburgers and everything.
I would venture to guess a culinary arts teacher is not teaching 8th graders how to fry calamari, okay? They break out the Duncan Hines
grade,
and they make a cake. We've all been there.
Listen, I'm a professional chef, so I've been through the culinary arts program. I mean, a lot of us have probably cooked for you. You know what I mean?
I'm sure you have.
But, you know, I just want to give credit where it's due, and I thought it was funny because every time I tuned in today, we're talking about food. Calamari, Ortsburgers, everything else.
Let's not make it seem like 90% of the show hasn't been DJ LeMahieu. Thanks for the call, Ryan, please. I love that, though. People get so caught up, and every time I tune in, you're talking about food. No. Maybe you're just tuning in at the wrong parts. We talk about food because it's fun, and everybody loves food. Not everybody loves the Yankees or the Mets. But it's sports entertainment. We still overwhelmingly did sports.
Yeah, and like you said, we've done a solid 70% of the show on DJ LeMahieu and the Yankees running him out there consistently.
Oh, I know. And is that
would
guy
you like
going,
us to go
only
through,
burgers.
Yeah, would you like us to go through at bat by at bat and break down the pitches and you know which part of the zone DJ LeMahieu's having trouble hitting the ball most in?
Dude, I love this. We're all the same age, right? Growing up to listen to Mike and the Mad Dog, the movie talk. The Sopranos
was a big one.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, they play the drop all the time. Scholes plays it, Eddie plays it all the time. He's lazy. That was Dog talking about his kid going number two.
Of course.
That's where that came from. For years, I thought he was talking about like a producer or something.
I love it, dude.
Like, that's the stuff you remember because it's relatable. And it's just, it's funny to see people in like this sports talk prism go outside the prism.
It's relatable. Right, exactly. But it's so funny when people complain about that. WFAN has always been this. WFAN didn't change. you don't realize, or you just get fed up not hearing, you know, the old voice of old that we all loved. They all did the same stuff.
By the way, speaking of home ec, you took home ec, right? Did they have that in the school you went to?
I did.
I failed home ec and tech. So I was like, if I can't talk on the radio, I'm screwed. I couldn't. Usually, maybe a good one or the other.
Yeah.
I was home ec. It was like we prayed after we ate. I mean, it was bad.
I agree. I still don't know how to make a bundt cake.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.